This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another special guest episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show. My guest today is Mr. Ronald Richards. He is a serial entrepreneur, founder of Business and Bourbon, Intelligent Business Advisors, and Ronald Richards LLC, which we're going to talk about a lot of those different things and what he's focused on, salespeople, organizations, leadership, so fun. He is also the author of the Shut the Hell Up and Sell, which is coming out November 2022. As we record this, it's coming up soon. We're going to talk about that as well. Super excited because he's doing a lot of things in this space, and really looking forward to having this conversation where we just share more of this wisdom, help people with their selling effectiveness. Mr. Ronald, welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Jason, thank you for that big buildup, man. It makes me feel like I've actually done a couple of things in my career. I appreciate that.
you have, and with the brands that you have and what you've been building, I remember the first time we talked, I'm like, man, I'm behind. I gotta do some more things. I need to start some more companies, build some more things. I might have a few more books, but you have more brands and more stuff going on. I'm like, man.
My wife would probably tell you that you're doing just fine because she just wants me to just focus on one. She's like, slow down, don't stop adding things. That's what I do.
Which is interesting too, because the people in my life are like, when I say, you know, I feel like I'm not doing enough and I should be doing more. At one point, I had 3 podcasts and then I consolidated back down. It's always like everyone else, like, you're nuts. You're doing a lot, and in my brain, I just always feel like I'm not.
You know, it's funny. I think that, you know, I can relate to that a lot because I'm one of those guys too. And I kind of have this issue where if I'm not doing something, I feel like I'm doing nothing. And, you know, it has been something that's benefited me at times, but it's hurt me as well. Because sometimes you got to just sit down and chill out, man. Sometimes you just got to sit down and chill out and stop working, you know, like in your business and work on your business, right? Bring more of a strategic focus to things, which is something that I have to make a conscious effort to do.
Well, and I know that you're here so that we can talk about sales leadership, the stuff that you do, the book and what came about, not in a promotional way, but just like having wrote a book myself, like the process that goes in, the why and the value to people, I think I want those lessons to come out. Obviously, you know, the kind of stuff you're talking about from a business leader, business owner perspective, as far as in and on the business. I've already made some notes of stuff I want to talk about in our after show. But for now, let's dive into, you know, sales and leadership. And starting with the book, kind of working backwards, is what, I'm just going to say it, what finally got you to the point where you're like, all right, now's the time for me to write this book. Here's what I need to tell the world. And here's what I need people to shut up and do.
Wow, that is a big, beefy question, Jason. I'll say that my journey to writing the book started probably about 4 or 5 years ago. And at the time, you know, I was looking at ways to start to establish my personal brand, you know, in a way to help grow my consulting business. And so I sat down and I said, you know, what are the ways that people put themselves out to the world? And a book is one of those ways, right? And at that time, I made a strategic decision to not write a book because I really wanted to. I wanted to focus on mediums that were a little bit more dynamic, right? So, like, hey, podcasting, video content. I can talk about the things that you care about and the things that matter to you today, like right in this moment, right? You know, and that again, that's dynamic, so it can change. And, you know, I felt like at that point in time in my life and my career, that was the avenue I wanted to go to help to build the brand and kind of wait to write that book. It wasn't that I didn't have the content for the book, because I had the content. The content is my life. The content is my experience as a sales leader over the last, you know, 20 plus years. So after doing a pretty good job in building our brand and creating an audience and creating a community around you know, the Business and Bourbon brand, I decided, hey, you know what? Now it's time. Like, I didn't need the book to create the community or to bring a community. I needed the book to serve my existing community, right? And of course, we're going to grow and more people will get benefit from the book. But I just felt like it was time for me to now to go ahead and release that, all that stuff that's in my head. And honestly, Jason, I felt like there was something missing from the sales trainer and sales book kind of genre, right? And so what I feel that's missing and what I wanted to bring to the world of sales books and sales training is a little bit of a focus on philosophy. You know, I've done a lot of training over years. I've had, you know, several hundred employees that have worked for me and I've trained and coached and mentored in sales and then gone on to do, you know, consulting through my consulting firm and do sales workshops and all these different things and train and coach sellers and leaders for other companies. And one of the things that I've noticed that seemed to just be consistent is, and this is in my own organizations and these other organizations that I've helped, is that I feel like there's a disconnect sometimes in how sellers connect with the curriculum, right? Like, you know, there's really great curriculums out there. There's really great sales trainers and they bring this information and they're really great at tactical execution and saying, hey, look, you need to do X and do Y and then that's going to equal Z. And for some reason, when these sales trainers come in, the sellers that were successful before they came in, guess what? They're still successful. And then the ones that aren't, by and large, seem to still not be successful, right? And what I felt kind of was, what I was missing from the mix is that sellers don't really intimately understand the why we do what it is that we do. It's just like a kid, right? Like, you know, if you're told to do something and say, hey, look, do this, Jason, this will be good for you. Maybe you'll do it. If it comes from a reputable source, comes from your parent, your mom or your dad or someone you trust, maybe you won't. But if you, I'm going to give you an analogy. Here's a better way to explain this to you. When you're a little kid and you walk in the kitchen, your mom she's in there cooking something on the stove, right? And you go to reach up and you see that blue flame. Oh, blue flame. Oh, that's cool. You reach up and your mom says, no, don't touch that. That's hot. And you say, okay, trust my mom, I'm not going to touch it. So you don't touch it. Now, one day, you see that little blue flame, and you reach up and you touch it. Ah, God dang, you burn your hand, right? That's the difference between understanding the why and just being told the why, right? Like when your mom was telling you, don't touch it, it's hot. You're like, okay. Not trust you, mom, but you know, there's just when you understand the philosophy behind why we do what we do in sales and what it is that you need to do, it just has a much greater impact in actual execution. So it makes the tactical execution part of sales that far more impactful and it resonates more. So what I've done in the book is I've broken it up into it's essentially three books, Jason. So the first part of it is the philosophy, the, hey, you touch that and it burns your hand, right? It's the philosophy. And I teach the philosophy through stories of my own career, things that I've been through. And I try to tell those stories in ways that people can relate to, right? Where there's some emotional impact. And those stories help to, again, explain to you what it feels like to touch that eye and burn your hand and how to, you had to stick it in ice water and all those other things, whatever you had to do to recover from that. Cause I want people to connect with that. Right. So then when I say, hey, don't touch that eye. Oh, you understand it at a whole different level than you did before. Right. So we take the first part, and the first part of the book is that philosophy. It's the storytelling. The second part is the tactical execution. Because at the end of the day, you need to know tactical execution. Do this, do that, and here's the results of that. But I really wanted people to understand the why we do the things that we do in sales on a more intimate level. And then the last part of my book is it's your book. It's your story. One of the things I'm very open about, Jason, is that, you know, I've spent 25 years in sales. It's my truth. What I share is my truth. There is no one way to success in anything, my friend. We all know this. There's not one. So what I do is I share my truth. I share my experience. I share it in ways that are relatable and that people can understand. And then you take that take that gift that I'm giving you, and then you create your story. You create your truth. So the third part of our book is that's your book. It's the open-ended part of you to now take these lessons that we're sharing, these stories I'm sharing with you, the tactical execution, and start to try to apply those lessons and that execution to your sales career and your life. And then create your own nuance of your nuanced approach to those things, right? And figure out what your truth is. And so the last part of our book is literally open pages for you to take notes and start crafting your future, man. Start charting out your journey.
So when you're talking about that first section of the book, the philosophy, understanding the why, and in sales, like in what you're talking about with the sellers, but also everything in life is sales, right? So it's also talking about life, and that example used with the kid and the hot flame or whatever they're being told. Mm-hmm. How have you found that when somebody in sales understands the why, the philosophy, the truth behind things, where the what, the strategic, the actions, like, is less important? And where does that play in, right? Like, where it's less critical to understand overly tactical things once you understand the why, or where's that balance?
I think that, I used the example of touching the hot eye, but we really could, there's really so many analogies I think that we could use. I think in life of where understanding intimately the why we do something is impactful. And I think that, again, in sales, it becomes so overly tactical and technical, especially with the introduction of technology, And so there's a couple things that happen. We lose touch with the customer. We lose touch with that intimacy, that relationship piece, right? And we don't really, sellers largely don't really understand, again, that why we do things. I'm a workout guy. Right. Lots of people hate working out. They hate working out. But you know when people are most likely to start working out, Jason? After they have a heart attack. Right? You have a heart attack. Oh, I got to get in the gym. Right? It's that same sort of thing, right? Now they understand, intimately, why it's important for them to get on that treadmill, right? And now they're doing it. So, again, sales, no different, man. And in a world of that I think is overly technical, it's so easy for sellers to lose track. And not only lose track, just not understand what the why is. Because, I'll give you an example. In corporate sales, I've worked with a lot of corporate sellers, right? Big companies. And where I feel that corporate sales fails these folks is they never teach them to really connect with the customer. They never teach them. It's all about them. It's all about their products and services. Yeah. They'll go send them away for training, and it'll be like, a week of training. And out of that week, 90% of it is us, our products, our service, and never really teaching them how to connect with the customer, how to do proper discovery, not discovery from the sense of just answering questions or asking questions to check off boxes, but really understanding what matters to that customer. So that's something we talk about in the book as well, going over discovery, how to do it right. But the why do we do this? Why to do it? And so I tell a story about my own career of why that was so important to understand discovery intimately and understand that I need to be focused on what matters most to the customer, right? And so it's some of this stuff may sound, when you say philosophy, sometimes people may be like, yeah, thinking, oh, I don't know, some Woodstock stuff or stuff.
It's the soft woo-woo stuff,
yes,
right?
Yes, woo-woo. I like that word.
It's the stuff that salespeople aren't thinking,
yes,
about. They want to just go for the kill all the time and not step back.
Well, and that's something that, again, through storytelling, which is just, that's my way of coaching and leading. I think that stories are far more impactful, especially stories that people can relate to. Through storytelling, that's one of the things I talk about as well, is why that matters. See, you and I know, I've got a few gray hairs in my beard, more than you, And we know that the key to being successful long term is to you always have to have a perpetual sense of urgency. We're in the sales business, but understand that you're in the relationship business. You got to connect with people. You got to connect with people. You got to become advocates for them. You have to serve them, because when you do that, well, they'll be around for a long time, right? The name of the game, the game that we're playing, that the successful sellers are playing, is building relationships that they can continue to monetize for a career, not just today. So it's anyway. Again, that's at risk of sounding woo-woo. This is the philosophy stuff.
Well, but I obviously, and anyone who's read my book knows it's the same way, because I broke mine up into three sections. The first one was about authenticity, right? Like, you got to know who you are and why you do what you do, what drives you, right? Not even before we get to the product and the service, but like you and you could teach you, and you could teach people all the amazing tactical closes and things to say and pick up on. But if you don't have a foundation of why you're doing what you do or what even makes you tick, it's pointless and probably will feel gross to most consumers. With what you're seeing out there, how, like, over your career, 25 years, how do you see the buyers, right? Consumers, whether it's, you know, direct to consumer, or it could be business to business buyer. How have you seen them change and their expectations change of people in sales?
Wow. You know, it's funny. What's old is new again. And what I mean by that, Jason, is I gave a speech last year, or close to this time, to a group of HR professionals. And the topic was technology and sales and leveraging technology. And I put this picture up of this, just the most whitest and 50th looking man that you can imagine. You guys are going to visualize this, like the cheesy, the 1950s Americana guy, right? And he's got the big smile. And, and I said, that guy's what's new again. Maybe not exactly that guy, but that way of selling, that way of connecting, shaking hands, kissing babies, that sort of thing. So the future, which is not just the future, it's now, it's leveraging technology to really connect with people like we're doing right now. Video, I can see your eyes, you can see my eyes, right? Leveraging the technology to connect with people. And the problem that so many sellers are having is that technology adoption rates are so high that they're using technology in ways that aren't, that don't build connection with customers. They're using it in ways that create bridges. They're not bridges, rather, the barriers. They create barriers and that are removing the human element. And what sellers don't understand is that the human element is what's going to keep you around. It's what's going to endear you to that customer. It's what's going to, again, make them a customer of yours for life. So what I'm seeing from buyers is that buyers want that human element. Oh, they do. They want that connection. I think we all want that connection. Right now we're looking, you know, we've been in this pandemic world where there's been this forced separation. Part of what we do at one of my companies, at Business in Bourbon, is we do events. We do business networking events. We bring business leaders together. And let me tell you something. We did our first like pandemic in-person event in July of 21, and it was packed. People were starving for connection. Now, you know, we took precautions and had different wristbands and all those sorts of things. We were responsible. But the point I want to make is that people were starving for that human connection, man. And so I think as sellers, we need to be finding ways that we can get out there, touch, and connect with our prospects on a more intimate level. Use the technology as a tool to build that connection, right? Not be lazy with it. Here's an example of the laziness. Sellers that show up on Zoom unprepared or with cameras off or stuff like that. Again, this is an opportunity for you to connect with someone and to use the leverage the technology, right? So why would you not show up ready to go Why would you not show up with and have your camera on, right? This is just an example, right? But I'm seeing it more as those technology rates have you know gone through the roof for everyone. Sellers are getting lazier, which means this. Here's what it does mean, Jason. Is it sellers that get it? Oh my God, you're going to eat like a fat boy, man. You're going to eat like a fat boy in cake. Like it's going to be a good look for you because so many people are not doing the things that I think that they should be doing to bring them closer to the customer and to connect with the customer and solutions and providing those that solution and that service that a customer really wants at the end of the day. One thing I'll say, and I'll leave it at this. One last thing.
Yeah.
I think we all like our guy or our girl. We all like that. What I mean by that is you were to hop in a time machine, go back, 25 years ago. 25 years ago, you had your banker. That's my guy. My banker, right? You got your auto repair guy. Oh, that's my guy, right? Everyone wants that person. Right. And that hasn't changed. Technology hasn't made it so that now we just want robots to fulfill all of our needs and desires. No, we still want those people. So smart sellers have to understand that there's an opportunity for you to become that person for somebody out there.
So you were just talking about the technology, which is a fascinating perspective I hadn't thought about, which is the overuse of technology and obviously the human element, which I completely agree with, but people just using that and being lazy. And I love the example about the Zoom or the video meetings and not having camera on or not being prepared, not in a like, what should they do instead? Because obviously be prepared and be a professional and turn your camera on. But why is that happening? Why do salespeople, sellers, why are they going that route, and or why are companies allowing that or supporting that? Where is that coming from? Because, again, going back to our philosophy and our why part, right? Like understanding where it comes from is the first step more than don't do that, right? Because it's easy to say don't touch the hot flame or don't go into a Zoom meeting unprepared without your camera on. But, why are they doing that?
So it's a good question. The why... I don't know. Maybe we should ask a few. I would say that, you know, as a lifetime seller, a lot of us are a bit lazy. We just are, right? But and a lot of people are a bit lazy, and we live in this world of convenience. And so, you know, if you don't have to do something, maybe you don't do it. I would say to you that for me, going back to the philosophy and all that, I can't put my finger on exactly why it's happening, but I know that I can coach out of it by explaining to them why it makes sense to do that, right? Here's one thing I trust about human nature, and I tell my managers this, people that have reported to me today and in years past. I trust people to always do what's in their best interest. And so back to what you're talking about, or what you've just asked me, if I can coach them on why this makes sense, why you want to have your camera on, and the impact of that, the potential negative impact on your business. So I'm going to paint the picture for two ways. Here's the negative impact on you. Here's how it hurts. Ow, hot. And then, here's what's great about it. Here's how it's going to benefit you. We got to tell stories. That's how we coach people out of stuff like this. So I can't put my finger on exactly why it's gone that way. Yeah, I can spitball and use my own personal experience and knowing who I am. And for me, I would say that, yeah, sometimes I just get lazy. I don't want to do stuff. But what makes me get out of being lazy is understanding the negative ramifications of it and what I stand to win.
So two things, I think. One is from my side, just using the technology and trying to leverage technology to make things easier and better, which could be code word for the laziness and enabling and encouraging that kind of behavior, right? Instead of me having to go to an office and have a meeting and actually put on pants, I can just fire up the Zoom, maybe turn on my camera. Who cares what I look like? Because, you know, I can scale this, right? Like I could just have 10 meetings instead of two a day. When your eggs are all in one basket, right? Think of those days where it was like you had to go somewhere and have that meeting. That meeting better be really effective because maybe you don't have a lot of opportunities versus what you can do with scaling things like that. So I wonder how much of it is that. And then two, I love your suggestion. Ask you. Anybody listening or watching this, you want to engage. The first step is admitting you have a problem. So admit that you're that person that's unprepared for meetings and video. But then reach out. Ronnell Richards on LinkedIn or myself on LinkedIn or... Also, we're going to have some links in the show notes if you want to get to it later. But let either of us know. Say, hey, I'm doing this. I realize it. Here's why. And I'm gonna change based on, you know, what Ronnell was just talking about. So that would be awesome to see, who out there says, yep, raise their hand. This is me. And then now I'm gonna kick ass instead and bring it every time. With the technology, you brought up a really interesting point about leveraging it. Obviously, we're talking about how it can make people avoid the human element because they're just trying to make everything easy. Where is that balance, though, with the technology? What can business owners and leaders do with, like, using technology that still sets that seller up for the only thing we need them for, which is the human connection?
I love that connection. The question. Connection, Jesus. Love that question, Jason. Love that connection too. All right. I love that question. I have a very quick answer for you.
Good.
So I think like most things in life that we want to be successful at, it is important to have an ethos or it's something that guides our decision making. So here's my rule for technology, leaders, sellers, and this, I want you guys to pay attention to this. This is my rule for adoption of technology and use of technology. You need to be thinking about one thing. Is what I'm about to do, does it bring me closer to a customer or take me further away? The goal is relationships. Think about that. Does this bring me closer to connecting or does it bring or is it further away? Is it creating a barrier? Right? When you have an ethos like that,
wow,
it informs how you use these sorts of technology. Technology isn't bad. It's just a tool, right? If I have if I got a screwdriver sitting right here in front of me and I've got a nail that I need to get in a piece of wood, well, that's not going to work for that, right? I can bang it all day. It's not, should I be mad at the screwdriver? No, the screwdriver didn't do anything wrong. I used the tool improperly. So what I'm saying is that, again, guys, think about whether that when you're about to implement a new technology, think about, does this bring me closer to connecting with my prospect or farther away? Right? Because sometimes we just do stuff to be lazy.
So I love that question. Mind blown, because I think that's a great thing to ask all the time. Because again, it's 2022, right? If we still have the need to have a human in a meeting on a phone call in order to help another human make the right decision, it's because robots haven't taken over, right? So that's what we need them to do, that one thing. But then there's technology to aid it, right? There's no reason to do everything the hard way. But let me throw this at you.
Yeah.
LinkedIn,
yes.
Automation,
yep.
At scale, the gross stuff that you and I and so many people can't stand, yet the world yep. seems to keep doing it with the connection requests and the instant three-page sales pitches and the gross stuff. In that person's mind, they're thinking, oh, well, this is helping me create closer connections at scale because now I can send 200 messages a day instead of 20 messages a day. So where do you address that in the ethos of, oh, well, this is bringing me closer. My 4,000 emails a day in my sequence are bringing me closer to human connection versus what's
I'll give you a personal, doing? I'll give an example from my business and my personal marketing activities on LinkedIn. So, sure, we all want to grow our networks. We all want to connect with prospects and those sorts of things, right? What I find is that most, I won't say most, that's too general. A lot of people just throw too wide of a net, right? It's like they come up with an avatar, some basic avatar, and they're trying to connect with thousands of people. When at the end of the day, like there's a very specific ICP, a very specific person there that uniquely qualified to serve and help, or would be the best fit for connecting with them. So I will give you an example, again, in my business on how we leverage technology to connect with people, but did it in a more intimate way. So I wanted to grow my network, my community, specifically with executives in the indirect channel, technology channel sales world. Okay. And so we did a lot of database work to kind of, to try to identify that again, because I don't want to catch super, I don't want to cast super wide nets. I want to cast very specific. I'm sniping as opposed to, I probably shouldn't say that, but you guys get it. All right. Not a good time. Guns in America, whole nother issue. All right. Anyway, I'm much more targeted. But still, I'm at mass, so I may have, you know, 300 people that I want to connect with, right? And so what we did is I created a personal video, right, using my friends at CoVideo, created a personal video, and I said, hey, look, I'm Ronell. This is who I am. This is what I do. And I'm trying to grow my network with people just like you, right? So I was very specific. I want to grow my community with people that are in leadership positions. I'm paraphrasing because it was like a couple years ago. People in leadership positions in the channel like you. Now, here was very important to me is one, using video was a way to really connect with them at a higher level, right? I'm speaking to them. And then we leveraged, you know, a direct, I can't remember which direct messaging tool or whatever to automate that flow, right? So we could get more of them out. So we were not like individually putting them out like that. But it was also important to me to be honest and authentic. Here's what I mean by that. I don't want people thinking that I'm talking to just them because they know that's not true. Like, hey, you get an email. Hey, yes, I want to connect with you. And no, I said, hey, look, I'm growing my network with leaders like you. So that's why I'm reaching out to you to connect, right? So again, I'm leveraging technology to get it out at mass, but what's really important, I think, and something that sellers miss is that we really need to do much better job on the front end, on the database, who we're doing our outreach to, right? Like, you know, really intimately understand who your, for lack of a better term, avatar or ICP is, because that makes connecting that much more effective, right? What I teach folks when they're doing connecting like this is that when you've really, for lack of a better term, niched down that avatar or that ICP, like it doesn't take very much. You just tell them who you are, what you do, and what's in it for them. And that what's in it for them is you're going to include either an acronym or something that lets them know that, oh, this person actually knows my business. I just told you about channel sales. People that are in channel, oh, they'll know, oh, okay, this guy's in channel. He knows my business. So it's going to be more effective, right? So again, I think it starts with the database, making sure that you niche it down as much as possible. And when you're using these mass or more automated approaches, man, just remember there's a human on the other side. There's a human on the other side, and don't try to fake it, man. If you're going to reach out to a bunch of people, let them know. But also, again, when you've niched it down and you're able to use an acronym or use some industry jargon or whatever they'll connect you with, you'll be much more successful. And that's my long way of telling you my example of using it.
No, and I think that's great because I've, again, using your ethos of will this bring me closer to connecting with the person or a closer connection with the person? And then talking about the strategy behind leveraging technology and tools that are available, right? Like, yes, you could build a house with your bare hands, but you could also buy some power tools and you can buy some heavy equipment to make it much more effective. But you're going to leverage it. You still have to use those things. It's not going to do it for you and use that as, you know, a tool in your process to get you closer instead of just abdicating it to automation and email blasts to hopefully do the job for you of sales. So I think that's a great place for
Jason. That was fire, though. Thank you for that. That was fire. So I just wanted to that power tools one. Love it. Okay, I'm adding that.
that's my gift to you. There you go. Which, and again, I think that's so true when you look at it that way. And many people in sales go, I just want to just have the house build it for me, right? And that's fine. You just have to have a lot of money to pay somebody to do everything and make every decision for you. And, you know, where is your balance? So in the next part, I want to talk about salespeople who have lost that connection, desensitized. I want to talk about the fact that you're no longer surprised and how salespeople can learn from that. And I want to talk more about the busyness part that we jumped into right away, you know, as a continuation of our green room conversation. For people that are tuning in, watching, or listening to this, your links, ronellrichards.com. Again, Ronell Richards on LinkedIn. It's R-O-N-N-E-L-L, Richards. Go on there. People will find you. And obviously you have the book coming out in November, Shut the Hell Up and Sell. Super excited to check that out as soon as it comes out. I'm not a very great storyteller author. I'm kind of more analytical. So I love reading stuff that's like on the opposite end of me. So it should be fun. Ronell, thanks for being here on the podcast. And
Jason, thanks for the invitation. It was a blast, man.
All right. Hang tight. We'll get to the after show here in a moment. And for everyone else tuning in, I appreciate you being here. I say this all the time. Thank you for being a part of this journey that I have to shift the world of sales from something that's gross and the world doesn't trust to being a profession and something that people are looking for to actually get help, the kind of stuff that Ronell and I were just talking about and the things that he does with salespeople. And just what we want to do, if we can, it's up to each of us to sell in a way that's effective and that the world actually needs. And here's the most important part, is not just doing it because you want to, but also doing it and making more money, closing more deals in a way that benefits everybody, including your customers. So until next time, until this part two that we're going to rock right into, thanks for helping fill the world with authentic.